Holidays mean feasting. From cheddar biscuits to French toast bakes, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options to ensure your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Today we're going to have a conversation about the New Orleans Saints in 2025 and 2024, and also the Philadelphia Eagles in 2024 under offensive play caller Kellen Moore. That rhymed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I've been doing some real thinking. Okay, so last week, you know, I was sitting back and y'all watched the channel. Last week I was talking about how this season is starting to remind me a lot of two things. The end of last year with the Saints and the beginning of last year with the Eagles. And because of Kellen Moore calling plays with the Eagles and the Saints, I thought, man, let me do a deep dive. Let me do some research into this. So I've done a little bit of research here, and we're going to have a nice little discussion about the entire thing. All right. So let me take you all the way back. All right. So last year with the Eagles, Kellen Moore comes in and it starts off kind of rocky, okay? If you don't remember, the Eagles start off, they go play Green Bay in Brazil, which was a good win, right, 34-29. But then they kind of get on a skid, all right? They lose to Atlanta. They scrape by New Orleans, if y'all remember this game. This is the Eric McCoy game. And then they get rolled by Tampa, all right? And then they enter the bye week, and then everything gets fixed. At this point, again, if y'all remember, Sirianni was going to get fired. Kellen Moore was being called into question. Play calling was being called into question. It was a lot of issues with Philly right here. And then it kind of turned around. This Cleveland game was the infamous game where Sirianni was chirping his own fans. Sirianni had the hand to the ear to his own fans, okay? Things were not good in Philadelphia at this point right here. So I went and did a little bit of digging, okay? I went and did a little bit of digging here, and I specifically wanted to highlight any time between September 16th to the bye week, all right? Because then they start winning, then, you know, winning cures everything, and then they become this, like, powerhouse team that's just unstoppable and whatnot. So everything I'm pulling up is kind of from that time. This is from that era. This is December 3rd, all right? So this is after Moore has kind of fixed stuff. So Moore's kind of fixed things, and he did then exactly what I've been saying he should do now. So Kellen comes in. He's got all these ideas in Philly. They're doing all this different kind of stuff, and people are saying, look, man, just get back to running the football. Get back to kind of the simplicity of what Philly, you know, what we're good at. And this article, and I'll link all these articles, I'll link all this stuff, and this article kind of outlines that. It kind of outlines the struggles that Philly had early and then the success that they had later. Like, to Moore's credit, he arrived with grandiose ideas, evaluated the talent he had, and tailored his preferred system to the players on hand. Okay. Now, here's from a message board. This message board, some big Philadelphia Eagles message board, talks about how Kellen doesn't have control over the offense. He won't run the football, the play calling. Is the issue in Philadelphia. And I always think it's interesting. I always think it's interesting whenever you can see things through both lenses, right? Like, this is the same season as an insane offense, as a Super Bowl win, as Saquon Barkley almost breaking records. You know, like, this is, but this is a snapshot, October 15th. Like, this is a snapshot of when fans don't see that. They don't know that. This is 5 games into the season, or 6 games, or 6 weeks with the bye week. So Philly fans are still kind of sour on the whole thing, all right? And if you go through and read all this, you know, they're saying, like, what's going on with Hurts? It was all Steichen. Moore is trying to adapt his concepts with the personnel here and infuse that with their strengths, blah, blah, blah. So, for example, you see Hurts still in shotgun rather than under center majority of the time because that benefits Jalen. That really isn't a Moore thing or a Sirianni thing. It's a Jalen thing. So, you know, you got, like, this – you got this meeting of – thoughts where it's a Moore problem, it's a Jalen problem, it's a Sirianni problem, somewhere in there. Okay, who is it? All right, which is kind of interesting now when you frame this of, is it a Moore problem, a Rattler problem, a Shuck problem, whatever, right? So I mean, a lot of this is about Sirianni too, but a lot of this is Moore, his play calling, whatever, okay? So then how interesting is this? This is from October 28th last year. The last time a Kellen Moore offense scored a touchdown in the first quarter was week 9 of 2023, almost 1 year ago. And what are we having talks about right now? Right? What we're having talks about right now is Kellen Moore and this offense struggling to score first quarter touchdowns. Okay? This is October 2nd. Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. We've got to start faster. The Eagles have trailed in each of their first four games of the season, including Week 4's 24-0 deficit in Tampa Bay. Philly has yet to score in the first quarter of a game. The first time an Eagles team was blanked over the first 15 minutes of its first four games was 1971. Okay? And then you see, like, yeah, we haven't started games the way we want to. We've got to start faster. We're continuing to evaluate that and find our own way. Let's see here. We're all not where we want to be. That's part of it. So we are excited about where we can take this thing, Moore said. Ultimately, I think from a rhythm and a timing standpoint, I think for us, we've just got to continue to grow and evolve with that. It starts with me as far as play calling, sequencing, building better rhythms and offense. I think we've moved it fine for the most part. The stats will tell you we're moving it okay. We've just got to finish in the red zone. We've got to put ourselves in more manageable and cleaner third down situations. That goes back to first and second down. This could have been a transcript right here from any press conference Kellen Moore has done the last 10 weeks. This right here, if you told me he said that last week, I'd believe you. This is almost word for word what we're hearing right now. So let's go back and listen to a press conference, just a clip, we're not going to listen to the whole thing here, from last year with the Eagles. So this is October 1st. This is right in that spell of the Eagles really struggling. Let's hear what Kellen has to say.
Obviously the slow starts have been an issue. So what is it with the scripts you think that haven't played to the strengths of your players or what you're seeing defensively?
Obviously we haven't started games the way we wanted to. Obviously this week being a bye week, you know, we're just doing such a deep dive on so many things. And so this is a really fun task for us to navigate and just find a way to you know, get going sooner, get going quicker, because there are moments, you know, coming out of second halves, we've had successful drives just coming out of it. But
as I did this research, it actually kind of blew my mind. As I was doing this whole thing, I was like, this is nuts. I mean, it is exactly the same situation. Exactly the same. Word for word. I mean, he's talking about slow starts, can't score in the first quarter, but they're good in the second half. Exactly what's happening in New Orleans.
We obviously got to start faster, and so that's a big focus for us just to continue to evaluate that and find our way.
What's your philosophy toward the opening script? Is it to see what the defense presents? Is it your best stuff of the week? How would you explain it?
Every week can take different paths. In general, usually it's about, you know, identifying the defense and getting touches to your players. And so, you know, those are really your main focuses there. You know, obviously we got to do a better job. I got to do a better job of finding that for us and allowing us to be more successful there.
So in this game specifically,
are they consistently different than what you expected in each game?
All right. So, well, like, again, I just wanted to show y'all kind of a foundation of how similar this is. And it's kind of mind-blowing. All right. So again, all this stuff will be linked. I would recommend you go and watch it, because go read these articles, go watch this stuff, because it's absolutely shocking. I mean, it's straight up like parallel universes. All right. So now we're going to infuse this with Kubiak last year. Okay. So if you remember the Saints season last year, all hell broke loose because of injuries and whatever else. The Saints offense was disgusting towards the end of last year. Okay. Now, at times, they were really, really good, right, at the beginning of the year. And then everyone got hurt and then whatever. So they go into the bye week, okay, and then they play the Rams. This stretch right here, so that, again, the bye week, right, we talked about it where bye weeks are supposed to help out coaches and help out game planning and prep and whatever. And that's why we were so frustrated with the Falcons game after the bye week. So they hit the bye week, all right? Now, right here is when Allen gets fired. So Rizzi's the head coach for two games at this point, and then you have the bye week, and then we're rocking and rolling, okay? Carr was hurt, then he was back, and then eventually he's going to get hurt in the Giants game. Rattler finishes out the season. We know how that goes. There's some Kamara in here. There's some Kamara getting hurt, and then it's Kendra Miller, and then Rattler and Edwards-Helaire, the leading running backs. It's tough, okay? So in this stretch right here, this is what we're going to focus on. Because this is, like, think of how bad the team is now, the offense. So here are the numbers from last year. So they score 14, 14, 19, 0, 10, and 19. That is 76 points through six games, which is a 12.6 points per game, okay? Right now, the Saints are at 15.2. So the Saints are almost 3 points better offensively than this stretch last year, okay? That shows how bad that was. Now, last year, the yards per game, right? YPP, the yards per play during this stretch. YPP is a super important stat. We look at it every single week. Here are the YPPs to all those games. We score 14 points. We have 4.8 yards per play. 14 points, 4.4. Did I say 4.8? 14 points, 4.8 yards per play. 14 points, 4.4 yards per play. 19 points, 4.8 yards per play. 0 points, 3.7 yards per play. 10 points, this is actually our best game, was against the Raiders at home. 10 points, 5.1 yards per play. 19 points against the Bucks for 4.6 yards per play. So we had over 5 yards per play once that entire stretch, okay? 4.8, 4.4, 4.8, 3.7, 5.1, 4.6. Oh, mama. All right. Now you look at this and it's like, well, it's Derek Carr. It's Taysom Hill is our leading receiver in this game. You know, Valdez Scantling is our leading receiver in two games. Foster Moreau is our leading receiver with 33 yards. Spencer Rattler is leading in rushing with 28 and 46. Look at the leading rushers. Kamara, 44. Miller, 46. Rattler, 28. Rattler, 46. Edwards-Helaire, 26. Some of this is gross, okay? Gross. Overall, Alvin Kamara was going to have 1,000 yards, right? But look at these rushing. Look at the high rushing. 83, 115, 87, 77, fine. 26, 40, 36, 67, 155, like that. 55, Taysom Hill with 138, 112, and then 44, 46, 28, 46, 28, or 26, right? So, again, the average of YPP is 4.56. Right now, the Saints are averaging 4.7 yards per play. So the Saints are right there, 4.56 yards per play last year, 4.7 yards per play this year. Yeah, bigger sample size this year, smaller sample size, whatever. And then the points per game, 3 points worse last year, okay? Now, again, it's interesting because you can kind of do a snapshot of how Saints fans were feeling about Clint Kubiak and the Saints team last year and then what we know about Kubiak now, right? So this video was from December 4th, 2024. And this is right before this stretch. So it really hasn't even gotten as bad as it's going to get. It's actually been kind of okay up until this point. So this is right in between, or right at the beginning of the bad stretch. And, you know, Ross talks about the Kubiak situation, but I wanted to show y'all some comments. Okay, here's some comments. Clint makes no halftime adjustments. Need a coach who can. It's been that way all season. Let's see. They will have to get another offensive coordinator, bro. I've been a season ticket holder. and I watch the games, and he is not cutting it, man. His play call is fairly sucking. Not much better than Pete Carmichael's. I remember, because obviously I was, you know, on a whole different level at this point, but I remember this Pete Carmichael conversation a lot. Because a lot of people, because y'all know I was very critical of Pete Carmichael, and a lot of people were telling me that Clint Kubiak was worse than Carmichael because the record was worse and all that stuff, right? And this is the kind of dialogue we were having. Again, I will quote this poetry again. They will have to get another offensive coordinator, bro. I've been a season ticket holder and I watch these games, and he is not cutting it, man. His play call is fairly sucking. Not much better than Pete Carmichael. Do I get a shirt that says his play call is fairly sucking? Let's see. Clint's offense has been too inconsistent. I know the injuries and all, but if the team gets another coordinator play caller, I won't be too upset. And the new regime will likely want their own coordinator, so Clint's days are numbered. I'm not happy with his lack of adjustment, situational awareness, four-minute offense, red zone, whatever, and how the Saints look completely helpless in any game that they can't run the ball. Overall, while better than Pete Carmichael, I'm still not sold on Kubiak. I don't know if he's the wrong hire, but I felt that there wasn't anything special about him. I know the local media was thrilled about him. Nothing special about the offense, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Clint relies too much on the run, et cetera, et cetera. Need another OC. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. What in Kubiak's past made you think he was the right hire at all? He wasn't a proven OC to start, blah, blah, blah. It's a dark time for Louisiana sports. Clint is overrated. Let's see. Maybe it was the wrong idea to hire Kubiak. One trick pony. Let's see. Carmichael is a valid scapegoat. A scapegoat is crazy. A scapegoat is nuts. That is strong right there. That was strong. His offense is basic, and he calls the same plays over and over and over again. And then there was another, I think it might have been in this article, it talks about the red zone. It talks about how the Eagles are really struggling in the red zone. Who knows here? Somewhere. But one of the articles was the red zone issues with the Eagles. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I can't find it. But it's the Eagles thing was a red zone issue as well. But this is just so interesting, I think, from so many different levels of just kind of the thought and the criticism of Kubiak at the end of the season, the thought and criticism of Kellen Moore this season compared with the beginning of the Eagles season, which then, of course, turned into one of the best offenses in the NFL in the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that he's going to turn it around next week or whatever, and the Saints are going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL by the end of the year or whatever. But there's absolutely something in common with all of this. There is something in common with Kubiak at the end of the year just not having the horses, and the roster was weak because of either injuries or just a weak roster in general, with kind of this year where it's a weak roster in general and we've had injuries, right? So there's some of that. More, it seems like there's some consistency with more needing that time to evaluate and figure out what's going on and find a balance between what he wants to do and what he can do and all of this. And it just is more of, this is just more of an example of, you know, we got to kind of chill. And this isn't a pro Kellen Moore or a anti Kellen Moore video. This is more of just pure context and more of just a blast from the past mixed with the present. And it's interesting that this is happening back-to-back years, really, in like three different versions, right? Whether it's the end of the year with Kubiak, the beginning of the year with Moore, or now with Kellen Moore. Different rosters, different everything. You know, you have one roster that's the best roster in the NFL that wins a Super Bowl. You have one roster that is completely injury-deprived and whatever with the Saints last year. And then you have this roster, which is an even worse roster than last year with injuries, right? So I'm telling you guys, like, we just got to kind of wait and see this thing out. And it's a difficult thing to do. It's a really difficult thing to do, to watch these games, see this stuff happen, and then not go nuts on Reddit or go nuts on Twitter or whatever and just freak out and call for the firing of Kellen Moore, whether he's in New Orleans or Philadelphia. It's hard to not go to the Eagles message board after a bad start of the season and say, fire Nick Sirianni and fire Kellen Moore. It's hard at the end of last year when we have 12.6 points a game through six games and we have 4.56 yards per play. All right. It's hard at that point to not say Clint Kubiak's a clown, fire him. Clint Kubiak's not better than Pete Carmichael. Right? It's hard right now to watch the Saints every single week and to see this offense and to see what's going on and not think Kellen Moore was the wrong hire or whatever. But it's just a really unique situation. I think Kellen Moore will figure it out, and I think it will take time. And there are, just like Kellen said in that Eagles press conference, there are moments where this team shows something, whether it's in the second half, whether it's Devon Vele, whether it's Tyler Shuck. But when you see things like last week or 2 weeks ago with the Falcons game, where Taysom Hill is the leading rusher of the team by carries, he's got 10-plus carries, whatever, and then the very next week he gets virtually no carries, and it's a completely different offense. Like the offense against Miami looked totally different than the offense against Atlanta. To me, that screams that Kellen is tinkering, and he is in a full-on tinkering mode, and he's in a full-on exploratory evaluation mode. And now on one hand, it's like, well, how are you supposed to get any consistency? How are you supposed to get any kind of an identity or whatever? And maybe we're just not really there. Maybe we're not even to the level of getting consistency or identity or whatever yet. Maybe we're still trying to figure out who even the pieces are. I mean, how many weeks have we seen or talked about Devon Vele's target or snap count going up, and then his targets go up, but he's not really getting any catches. And then all of a sudden, boom, he explodes. And there's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a doubt. Write this down. From right now, December 2nd, to the end of the season, I think Devon Vele will lead this team in targets and lead this team in catches. But for the last couple of weeks, one catch. Yeah, he's playing a lot of snaps, but one catch. Here you go. It's like everyone is figuring stuff out. Every single phase of this, whether it's who's running the football, who's playing quarterback, who's catching the football. I mean, think about that. We have this season, we have gone from, okay, who's the starting quarterback, to, okay, who's leading the team in carries, right? Is it Alvin Kamara? Is it Kendra Miller? Is it Devin Neal? Is it Taysom Hill? It's four different players. You know, like, we've had Alvin's our leading guy. Then it's like, well, actually, Kendra is probably the better running back. Now they're splitting time. Oop, now Kendra's hurt, so now it's going to be all Alvin all the time. Oop, now Alvin's hurt, so now it's going to be Taysom? Oop, that didn't work. Now it's going to be Devin Neal. You know, receiving-wise, it's like, all right, Juwan's our high target guy. Okay, now, okay, wait, Chris Olave, wait a minute. Chris Olave is taken off. Oh, wait, now it's going to be Devon Vele. Like, that's where we are. It is a crazy journey right now, but it's a journey nonetheless. But anyways, thought this was an interesting video. Thought to kind of provide some research, some content, whatever, or context. So let me know in the comments below what you think, what you make about all this. Thank you for watching, ladies and gentlemen, and I will see you in the next video.